Okay, hypothetical. Let's say that you, just went to the doctors and you did a physical. You also did some lab work and you did all those things. And then a few days later, you get that dreaded phone call from the front office. They call you and say, hey, your lab work's in and all the results of all that have come in. And the doctor wants you to come in as soon as possible to tell you what this all means. Feeling a little stressed about it and trying to relieve some of that stress, you try to pull something out of that person to kind of figure out what exactly is this, but they say, hey, you know what, like a good employee, you know what, I can't, talk about these things. You'll just need to come in and talk to the doctor about it. And so you set your appointment and you're stressed out, worried about it. You're going to WebMD and you're freaking out about it until you go to the office and you sit in the office waiting for the doctor, hands clammy, and then your doctor comes in. And let's just say hypothetically as well that I'm your doctor and you trust me because we have a relationship, and you also know that hypothetically I went to Harvard Medical School and I also got a PhD in medical research from Johns Hopkins, did my residency at the Mayo Clinic, and I've been doing this for so many years that I have so many titles and certifications before and after my name by which you have trust. And so I sit down with you and I just, just come out and just shoot straight with you. And I say, and I tell you, I said, here's the thing. You have a condition called cellular senescence. And what that means is you are going to begin to see a deterioration within your mind and your body. What's going to happen with you is slowly you're going to see deterioration with your seeing and your hearing. It's also you're going to find deterioration in your cognitive ability. You're going to have a hard time focusing on things, and you're going to begin to have a hard time recalling stuff as well. Not only that, but it's going to affect you physically too. You're going to find that you're going to begin to deteriorate physically. You're going to get tired more often, and you're going to begin to see that you're going to have a hard time walking even. Not only that, but you're going to find an increase in the possibility of heart disease, strokes, diabetes, pneumonia. In fact, if I can shoot straight with you, you're going to ultimately succumb to the complications of this condition. You will die. And there's no cure for it. No one's ever been cured by it. For some of you, just kind of listening to that, maybe that just kind of elicits something inside of you that, that scary thing that you've experienced, going to the doctors and hearing really bad news. And that's all I said there was kind of a hypothetical, but here's the reality. The reality is that most of us in this room are going to die because of complications from cellular senescence. Because you may have never heard of cellular senescence before, but the common street lingo for cellular senescence is old age. It's old age. We all have the condition. It's called old age. But what's paradoxical about this condition is studies have shown that people who are in the throes and are experiencing the reality of cellular senescence tend to have more peace and contentment and joy in their lives than when they were younger. It's crazy, right? It's paradoxical. Well, the studies have shown why is the cause and what's the reason behind that. And the reason behind that is, as we get older and we recognize these things, we have a paradigm shift. We begin to focus our direction on something else. In fact, when they've kind of interviewed people over and over, they kind of hear this theme that, life is too short. I don't have enough time to be obsessed about all of these negative things. I'm going to be focused on the joys and the things that I see every single day in my life and the relationships that I have. There is a paradigm shift. There is a direction shift in the way that we think. Last week, we started this series and looking at 2 Timothy, this last letter in writing that we have from Paul that he wrote to his protege, Timothy. And I brought up this idea that you kind of saw in the video as the beginning of this was this idea of velocity. And when we think about velocity, if you weren't here last week, velocity, we kind of think about speed. But technically, velocity is speed and direction. That's why you kind of think about it from the baseball term. If you have you know, speed, but no direction, you're not going to hit your target. So if you throw 100 miles an hour, but throw it over the catcher 10 feet above him, you're not going to hit your target. You may have perfect direction, but if you just let go of the ball, what's it going to do? It's going to go down. You need both speed and direction. And life is kind of made up like that as well. That, you know, life is about, you know, kind of that speed and that direction. But one of the things that we talked about last week was this whole paradox of what it means to follow Jesus. Just as it was paradoxical for the older person to have more peace and joy, we find that it came from a velocity change from the older person, a change of direction, the way they're thinking. But when you think about following Christ and being a Christian is paradoxical. Because when you think about it, think about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was paradoxical. Here he is, he's getting beat up. Him and Silas, they got beat up, they got thrown in jail, and what are they doing? They're singing hymns to God. That's paradoxical for a situation that they went through. Of all the things that he's experienced, and the shipwrecks, and the people yelling at him, being beaten and all these things, Paul wrote this letter that we looked at the series before this in Philippians, and he says things that are paradoxical. He's learned this whole thing of being content with much or little. Or this peace that surpasses all understanding, or, you know, rejoicing the Lord always. And we find that the key of this with Paul was a paradigm shift, a directional shift. For him, it was all about the law and being legalistic and self-righteous, to a shift of now being all about Jesus. A paradigm shift that totally changed his life. And so we looked at this equation here, velocity equals movement and direction. And we talked about it. What does it mean for us as Christ followers? Well, velocity, if you look at this other thing here, velocity is impact. And what is movement? What's the movement in the life of a Christ follower? The movement of a Christ follower is faithfulness to Jesus, that we follow Jesus. Maybe you've heard the term or the phrase, follower of Jesus. Follower of Jesus, following, is movement with a direction. Where's the direction? The direction is Jesus Christ. So the follower of Jesus is somebody who is moving where Jesus moves. Okay? And velocity is that impact. Impact in our own lives and the impact of other people's lives. And so when we look at the Apostle Paul, and we've looked at his life, we looked at his letters, and we're continuing to look on this letter here, we see a guy who is constantly faithful to the direction of Jesus Christ. That's why he accomplished so much that he accomplished. That's why he had so much influence in so many people's lives and why he's had so much influence in our lives. And when you read this letter, and I hope that you do, read 2 Timothy, one thing that you'll see with him over and over and over and over and over and over with Timothy is he's saying, hey, you need to have, he never says, you need to have movement towards me or towards what I say. No, he keeps encouraging Timothy that velocity and movement of life is faithfulness towards Jesus Christ. In fact, this last letter, at the end of this letter, he's saying to Timothy, hey, I'm not going to be around here very much longer. So don't be depressed. Don't worry about it because I know where I'm going. To live is Christ, to die is gain. You've heard me teach you this so many times, Timothy. I can't wait to be with the Lord. You've seen my zeal, my passion for Jesus. I can't wait, not wait to be with him. But when I'm gone, you don't have to worry. You know why? Because it's not about me. Velocity isn't about Paul. Velocity in your life is about Jesus. So he encourages Timothy through this letter, hey, you know what? If you see velocity in me, then faithfully, you know, mimic what I'm doing. But what I'm doing is just faithfulness to Christ. So Timothy, continue to be faithful in following Jesus Christ. So now we're going to kind of look into 2 Timothy chapter 2, kind of the second part of Paul's letter here to Timothy, just to give you a little bit of a running start if you weren't here last week. This is a letter that Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy. Like I said, this is kind of his last letter and last work that we know of, because as we see, if you read all the way to the end of this letter, you're going to see that Paul's basically saying, hey, things are getting hot and heavy here in Rome, all right? And it looks like my time is done. So Timothy, hurry up. You know, get everything in order there where you're at. Appoint people to lead and to instruct. And I want you to come to me really soon because this is it. But let me encourage you. Don't worry about any of that because all is good. Because Christ is on his throne and faithfulness has always been about faithfulness in Jesus. Whether I'm here or not. All right, so flip over to your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you don't have it, you can follow along again on your worship guide and just clicking on the digital code in front of you, or we'll just have it right here on the screens as well. So first of all, what we're going to see in this chapter here is Paul continues to encourage Timothy towards faithfulness in Jesus. And thinking about this idea of velocity, what you're going to kind of see here is Paul basically saying this, is that velocity, in order to maintain it, you need to be intentional. Velocity is maintained by intentionality. You have to be intentional of it, right? Just like a pitcher has to be intentional. If he just sits there and he has direction and he drops the ball, no, he has to be intentional with his whole windup and his whole follow through. Not only that, but he has to be intentional to his focus, where he's focusing on. Intentionality. It's the same thing for us in our relationship with God and the movement of God in our own lives. Somewhere along the line, especially in American Christianity, we kind of got this idea that once I give my life to Christ, then everything just kind of sails. There's no friction in life to slow me down. There's no gravity to slow me down. That once I give my life to Christ, then I just kind of coast, right? Or you go on that retreat and it's an amazing experiential moment and you're just like, man, this is going to coast forever. Until we drift, until something happens and we lose velocity, momentum, because we weren't very intentional about it. And Paul understands this. And so Paul, basically, as we'll see here, is that he will just continue to remind his protege, you got to be intentional to faithful movement towards Jesus at all times, not just in a message, not just when you feel inspired, all the time. It's about a 24/7 relationship with God. And so we'll see right off the bat here, Paul encourages him here and he says this, the first thing about being intentional is always be intentional with the grace you have been given. We've talked about this whole year about making the most of what you've been given. We're going to do a series a little bit later about grace. Grace is one of the greatest gifts that we've ever been given. Do you make the most every single day of the fact that you are unconditionally loved by God? Do you leverage that or do you get distracted and lose velocity on that? Paul basically says to Timothy here in the very first verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says this, Timothy, my dear son, be strong, all right? Through what? Through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the love and the faithfulness and the giftings and the gifts that God has given you. Continue to leverage them, to use them, not to just think about them, but to be strong in them. And I love the fact here, he says, where does the strength come from? Where does our strength come from? In fact, I think the most of the time when we get distracted is when we start to feel the anxiousness. At least I do. That's where I get, my mind gets negative and all of these things. That I recognize that the strength of my mind and my heart is really about turning my direction back as I've kind of drifted. Back to Jesus Christ and the grace that I've received from him, the love that he loves me, and the wisdom that he has. So Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And then he's going to remind Timothy of all the things that he's been taught, not just because he thinks that would be kind of just a nice thing to say to him, but to remind Timothy, you got to be really, really intentional with the things that you've been taught right here, which is the next point here. Always be intentional with the teachings you have been given. Make the most of the teachings that you've been given through scripture. Be intentional with that. And so the whole early church gained momentum and continued to grow even after Paul died, John died, Peter died. All these guys were they moved on into the presence of the Lord. This movement continued to take off because the next generation were so taught well by these apostles that intentionality is about intentionality to their relationship and grace and their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And their intentionality was being intentional to the things they have been taught by God through scripture. And so it is the same thing for us 2,000 years later in the 21st century, that we should be very intentional with the beautiful gift that God has given us, which is the Word of God. But Paul says this, goes on in verse 2. He says, now, Timothy, you've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, you've heard me teach these things. It's not just something I made up. It's not something that's happened in a vacuum. There are many people who have been witness to these things. And you've heard me tell you about these things. So soak them in. Know them. But don't just soak them in and know them. Now teach them. Teach these truths to others. In fact, one of the things about being intentional to the things that we've been taught that have an effect with not only within our hearts and our minds, by giving it away to others. So Paul, who has been given the gospel by Jesus Christ, doesn't hoard it. He gives it away to Timothy. Now he says, Timothy, don't hoard these things. Now give them away to somebody else, by which then they will give it away to somebody else. And so he goes on. Now teach these truths. Go back one more. Now teach these truths. Go back one more verse to that last verse. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who would be able to pass them on to others in that intentionality. Now he says, okay, be intentional with the grace that you've been given, that you are loved by God, that you've been gifted by God. Number two, be intentional about the things that you've been taught. But here's the thing, and here's a big one. You got to be intentional by staying focused because there's a lot of distractions. So this is the next point here. Go ahead to the next point. Always be intentional to be focused on Jesus when there are distractions. All right? I don't know about you, but I feel like so much of my relationship with Jesus Christ, which is I'm so grateful for grace, is I feel like, you know, that dog where it's like I just cannot stay focused on my master because there's squirrel, distraction, right? There's distractions everywhere. And one of the things that is so easy for our lives is there are a lot of distractions, a lot of different distractions that keep us from focusing on our relationship with Jesus Christ, you know? And so one of the things that we're going to see with Paul here is he mentions these things to Timothy is to help encourage him, man, stay focused because there's going to be a lot of distractions. There's going to be distractions from what other people say to you, what other people think about you. There's going to be distractions mentally. There's going to be distractions outwardly. There's going to be distractions inwardly. There's going to be distractions, all sorts of distractions. And so Paul goes on, he says this to Timothy here in verse 3 and 4. He says, endure suffering. Suffering can be very distracting. Sometimes I know that some of the more irritable times in my life is when I'm tired, I don't feel well, or I'm just dealing with something that just makes me suffer. That can be a very big distraction. I do a thing called running partners with people, and we just talk about anxiety and stress and all of those things and casting all our cares on the Lord Jesus Christ in perspective. That oftentimes that what happens when we deal with hard stuff, we look at it and we look at it through the lens of everything. Like this is like a hard thing. And we all go through hard stuff. And when it's in our lives, that's what we focus on. Everything that we see it within the perspective of that hard thing. But then we realize when Paul talks about, hey, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so basically what Paul is saying here is that when you focus on Jesus, what happens is that problem goes out into its proper focus. Did that problem change? No, it's still the same size. But perspective, as I had perspective, the eternity of God, the grace of God, the provisions and the gifts that God has given me, it changes everything. But this can become a very big distraction in my life. And so in those moments, I need to realize that that's becoming a distraction to my faithfulness and my relationship with you to be able to see things through your lens. So he says to Timothy, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. In other words, what he's saying to Timothy, like a good soldier, stay focused on your master. Don't let the things of this world take you off kilter. And don't let the things just of civilian life, the things that just kind of go on in this world, you know, knock you off of your focus on the one who enlisted you into the kingdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. Stay focused. And he continues to go on and he says this in verse 5. He says, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. So be diligent to do what is the right thing. All right? Be detailed about those things and follow the rules. And a hardworking farmer, right? That is the movement. Should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. And all through this letter that you will see that Paul will talk about how God is moving, even there in Rome while he's in prison. That even though he's chained, the word of God cannot be chained. It is moving. And he's seeing the fruit of his imprisonment. And in other letters, he's talked about the fruit of he's seeing it. In Philippians, we talked about how other people are getting strong and courageous to tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And here he is in Rome, and he's seeing God work even while he's in there. So work hard so there you can see the fruit and experience the fruit of seeing people's lives change for all eternity. That's velocity. Stay focused on all of these things. And so he goes on in verse 7, he says this. He says, so think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. So when you're dealing with life issues, trust the Lord, listen to him, focus on him, and he'll help you to learn how to apply these things as you're living them out in your life. But you got to focus on Christ. You got to focus on God and let him teach you. That's why we talk about here at River Run, kind of one of our big culture statements here is leverage life to know God. Oftentimes we get this backwards and we leverage God to do the life that we think should be that we want. And we get crabby, we get cranky. Instead of being paradoxical when hard things happen, we get mad and angry and all of these things. Well, what we see with Paul and we see with the early church Christians is that there was this flip where they recognize that they have an inheritance in heaven. This world is broken, and we are going, unless Christ comes back, we're all going to succumb to death, okay? And it's going to happen, but we have the gifts and the promises of God. So really, this earth, this time, is a wonderful time for us to begin to leverage the things of this world to know our good God. In fact, Scripture and Jesus said that the full life is knowing the one true God. And so instead of leveraging God to make my life the way that I want it, I leverage my life to know God intimately. So Paul is encouraging Timothy, his protege, kind of the same thing. The Lord will help you to understand, but you have to be listening and you have to be focusing on him. Now, always be intentional. He's going to go on. He says, okay, so now though, always be intentional by core truths. So one of the things is always being focused. Being focused on Christ, being focused on what is core and what is true. So that way you know when you're getting distracted. One of the things that I don't know about you that I get squirrely in my head is sometimes I'll be distracted by things that I think are worthwhile things to think about or debate or whatever. And sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. But when I know what the core truths are, then I can know what to focus on and what not to focus on. And so Paul says this to Timothy, going on in the next verse here in verse 8, always remember, don't forget, stay focused. Always remember that Jesus Christ, now remember, Timothy's heard these things a gazillion times, right? I mean, the guy lived with Paul. And so there's times here where we come to church and we go, okay, I've already learned it, I already know this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And we check out. And when we check out, guess what happens to our velocity? Our velocity begins to tank. Because these are the times where what we need to do is basically have a velocity check. I already know these things. And Timothy already knows these things. Paul's just reminding him of these things in order not to slow down his velocity. So he says, hey, Timothy, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David. In other words, what he's saying to Timothy is code word, hey, remember all the things that were said about Jesus, you know, came to fruition. That this whole movement didn't just come out of nowhere. This whole movement has been God moving all the way from the beginning. And so remember that this is a historical movement by which God is moving through human history, by which we get the ultimate, you know, joy of being able to experience it and live it out as God lives it through us, as we, you know, allow him to do that and focus and not be distracted by anything. So always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, he was raised from the dead. There is eternal life. Don't ever forget, Timothy, you are eternal. No matter what happens to you, you are eternal. One of the reasons why the early church made such a huge impact in the Roman Empire was because they were people that leveraged life to know God because they knew that God was the object of their true affections. And they also understood that they could hold this world a lot more loosely because this ain't where the good stuff is. The good stuff is in the presence of God through our resurrected bodies by which we could live with God forever. And so he's saying to Timothy, don't forget, Jesus is alive. There's resurrection of the dead. So this is the good news that I preach. Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of our sins. That's good news. That through that, we are reconciled into a joyous relationship with God forever. Keep that focus. Keep the focus that you are a sinner, that you are forgiven, that you are loved, that you are reconciled into the relationship, that only relationship that can give you the fulfillment that ultimately you need and you desire. And you have it forever. Stay focused on that. The moment you begin to drift away from that, it's the moment you begin to get distracted. Stay focused. He goes on in verse 9 and he says, and because I preach this good news, I'm suffering and I've been chained like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained. It is moving. So you see the velocity in me. I'm keeping my focus on Christ and Christ crucified, Christ risen from the dead, the promises that I have in Christ. And so I'm willing to suffer if that means other people's lives are changed forever. And I'm willing to do it because I know whose I am, where I'm going. And the fruit of it is God is changing people's lives. The word of God isn't changed. In verse 10, he goes and he says to Timothy, so I'm willing to endure anything if it'll bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. In verse 11, he says, this is a trustworthy saying. All right, in other words, here, focus in. If we die with him, with Christ, we will live with him. And if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are unfaithful, guess what? He remains faithful, for God cannot deny himself. In other words, stay focused on Jesus. Everything is about the focus on Christ. Now, if you think about it, you know, there was a time when Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And even though he denied Jesus, Jesus remained faithful. Jesus continued to go to the cross and to give his life as a sacrifice, atoning sacrifice for the sin of Peter and Peter's denial. And in his faithfulness and in his grace, when Jesus confronted Peter again, and Peter repented and refocused, because that's what repent means. It means to change direction. When he changed his heart and his direction back to Jesus, Jesus accepted him. And I tell you what, Peter never denied him after that. And Peter was sacrificed upside down, a crucified death upside down, because he did not feel worthy to die the same way that Jesus died. God is always faithful. So here's the thing. The other thing, though, is avoid velocity killers. Avoid those things that kill velocity. This is a thing in your life that you're going to have to be able to pay attention to, because there are going to be things that you will recognize when your velocity is beginning to wane. One of the things that just in my own life that, you know, this is just kind of me, is I recognize that when I am getting depressed or I'm going to a dark place or I'm thinking more about myself or getting pity parties or I'm getting stressed or anxious, that's usually for me a telltale sign that I'm losing velocity and I'm not avoiding velocity killers. In fact, I'm consuming them too much. And those are the moments that I need to realize I need to shift my heart back. And so he says to Timothy here, goes on to the next verse here in verse 14, remind everyone about these things, okay? These core truths, stay focused on these things and command them in God's presence here to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. In other words, he's basically saying, we don't know what they're arguing over, but what Paul is basically saying is it doesn't really matter what they're arguing over. What they're arguing over really doesn't ultimately matter. What matters is Christ, Christ crucified, the reconciliation of our hearts to God and our reconciliation of our lives together and our relationship with God forever. So don't quibble about these things. Don't go into a rabbit hole that chases people away from Jesus and the core truths of the gospel. Stay away from those things. How easy is it? I mean, how many of you have ever kind of gone through rabbit holes into debates that you knew just, this isn't really going anywhere. God's not honored and my heart is beginning to go south. How many of us have got to given into like gossiping and all that kind of junk, that kind of, you know, get into all these things and whatever? You know, Paul's word to us, encouragement to us is stop it. And then when we recognize that, because we will do that, that we would just moment realize that, realize the grace that we'd be given, and then turn our hearts and attention back to Jesus. And so he goes on in verse 15, and he says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one that does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, avoid these things, but stick to these things. Avoid those things, but stick to what you've been taught. Understand them clearly. And be the one, as you know these core truths and you stay true to these core truths, to bend people back to what truly is important. Okay? And so in verse 16 and 17, he continues to write on to Timothy. So avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. If you're just kind of going into these things and you're just chattering and it's just making people more amped up and angry and hearts are turning away from God and fighting each other, avoid it. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. In the case of Hymenaeus, and just as in Hymenaeus and Philetus, their velocity went tank because their heart and their movement was moved away from Christ and into whatever the things that they're quibbling about or arguing about or getting distracted about. That's not the core and the core of our lives, moving in faithfulness towards Christ. And so in verse 18, he says, so they have left the path of truth. They've gotten distracted, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from this. So not only can our hearts and lives can get distracted with bad velocity, velocity is also contagious. So if I'm going in a wrong direction, I can end up taking other people with me in the wrong direction. So he's saying to Timothy, hey, there are people who are going in the wrong direction and other people are following them. But don't do that, Timothy. You stay focused on what is the core about Christ and faithfulness in Christ. Encourage people to stay with you and stay the course and faithfulness of following Jesus Christ. And so in verse 19, he says, but God's truth stands firm. Now, this is important. We can get distracted and we can be all over the place, which we are. But Paul's making it very clear to Timothy, I want you to understand God's truths don't shift and change. They are the same. That's why we plant our foundation on him, because he's the one that doesn't change. He is eternal. So God's truth stands firm. So stand firm on his truth. Like a foundation stone with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. All those who are his must, you know, going, who are distracted by the things of this world and the evil things of this world, must turn their hearts back to Christ. That's what the word repentance means, right? It means to turn. And the focus is on Christ. When we get in the weeds, the best thing for us to do is, again, just recognize we're in the weeds and we just need to pivot and say, all right, sorry, Lord, got distracted. You got my heart. Let's roll. Thank you for your grace. And so when we do this and we begin to be aware of when we get distracted, we make those shifts and changes, and we begin to kind of focus more on our lives and our relationship with God, and we let him just kind of guide us as we follow him, then that increased velocity in our life has impact in the lives of other people. And so increased velocity increases impact. And so Paul says to Timothy here in the very next verse, in verse 20, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. So he's giving you a little analogy between these two utensils. In verse 21, he goes on with the analogy. He says, if you keep yourself pure. Now remember, pure doesn't just mean that you do the right thing, right? We can all, quote unquote, pure and do the right behaviors and still have a self-righteous, ugly mentality. Purity before God is the purity that you see in Jesus Christ, the purity of his heart, the purity of his love, purity of his faithfulness to the Father, and the purity of living that out in the lives of loving other people, as we see ultimately in his sacrifice on the cross. So he says, keep yourselves pure in that way, and you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Do you know how we become pure? We become pure by just hanging out with Jesus, right? Because you become like the people that you hang out with the most. They just rub off on you. And the more that we let Jesus Christ rub off on us, by the more time we spend with him, the more we just become like him. So keep yourself pure, keep yourself connected to Christ, and you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready, okay? You'll be ready for your master to use you for every good work. When we're distracted, are we ready and prepared for a good work? No, we're distracted. So Paul's basically saying to Timothy, and understanding his, you know, human nature and things like that, he said, hey, you got to be focused, because it's in those moments that you become more like Christ, and not just on a Sunday morning or whatever, at a Bible study, or, you know, just as you're connected with the Lord, as you go out through your whole life here, then you will be ready for the master to use you to be a blessing and an encouragement to those around you all the time. Be ready for every good work. And so in verse 22, he says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. The word there that in the Greek that Paul uses, this word passion, it can maybe mean lustful passion, but I think from the context here, basically I think what he's really saying here is the passion that happens when you're young, that we tend to let our passions kind of get a hold of us. Yes, it could be lustful, but it also can be just like knee-jerk reactions. We get offended, we get mad, you know? Somebody hurts you, says the wrong thing, and you just get ticked off. You just let your emotions, your passions kind of drive you. And Paul kind of says, run away from those things that stimulate those things. So instead of running away, so run away from these things, but instead pursue what? Righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. And enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. See, this is the contagiousness of velocity. We are to circle around people who desire for their focus and to be faithful to Jesus Christ, by which when we do that together, we're just encouraging one another, because our alignment wants to go left and wants to go right. And so he says to Timothy, you know, be focused on Christ, be around other like-minded people in order to pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. And so in verse 23, he goes on, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord, remember, what is a servant? A servant has a Lord. What is a Lord? A Lord is someone we say yes, sir, to. It's the one who drives the bus. So what it means to follow Jesus is to follow our Lord. A servant follows Jesus' movement and direction. So as a person, and what does it mean for a person who moves in the direction of Jesus, is somebody who does not quarrel, but is kind to everyone, who focuses on being able to teach in order to bend people's hearts and minds to the beauty that is God in Christ Jesus, and the implications of the reconciliation we have through his sacrifice, and the blessings of eternal life with him forever through his resurrection, to know those things, to be able to encourage people by that, and to be patient with difficult people. And so he goes and he finishes up here in verse 25 and 26. So gently instruct those who oppose the truth, because your focus isn't on being right. Your focus is me and my love for you, and to remind you of the grace I have given you when you were ignorant as well. So be gentle. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Encourage their hearts towards the master and creator who loves them. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to see their senses and escape from the devil's trap. Do you know what the devil's trap really is? It's just distractions, a way to move our affections away from Jesus, to move our way to our affections, to think that, hey, you know what? The best of life is not having a relationship with Christ. The best of life is having more money, more pleasure, more power, more prestige, more stuff. It's the devil's trap to rob you and steal you of your joy, but also to kill your velocity. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. The beauty of being set free in Christ is that we are no longer have to be steered by the things of this world. But we do get distracted. But that's great news, and the good news is that we can always pivot our heart back to Christ. And when we recognize that our velocity is getting off whack. And in those moments, we can just say and make that choice. All right, Lord, sorry about that. I'm ready to get this thing going again. I want to move my heart and align my life back into your direction. I want to get away from the devil's traps of trying to think that rust, you know, things that rust and moths destroy are the things that are really what I need in my life, when really, truly, what I recognize is I need you, the eternal love that you have given me. So my encouragement to you as I finish up here and we just kind of pray is that you would just take these things and just begin to really understand life and the pattern of life is best lived in the connection of faithfulness towards Jesus Christ. And that you would leverage your career, your relationships, the good times, the bad times, in order to truly understand the God who created you. And to leverage those things to move you into a closer relationship with him. It will change your life. It will be paradoxical. Father, we recognize and you know us so well. And that's why we need a Savior. We get distracted by the things of this world. We look at shiny things. We look at scary things. We look at storms. We look at stuff and we get distracted. And God, I just pray that through your Spirit and through your work in our hearts and our minds, that you would bend our minds and hearts back to you. That we would rest our lives in you. That we would have a peace that surpasses all understandings as you guard our hearts and minds from the distractions of this world, by which we would find satisfaction and joy of just knowing you. And the satisfaction, the joys, the gifts that you have already given us. So Father, as we just kind of ponder these things, work on these things, I pray that they would not just, be dropped by the wayside, but you would lose them, use them to gain momentum in our lives, Lord. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.